AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News, I'm Ben Thomas. The U.S. is sending another $275 million in military aid to Ukraine. U.S. officials say it includes ammunition and high-tech systems to detect and counter drones. At the Capitol,
the yeas are 258, the nays are 169, present one.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing passage of a bill protecting same-sex and interracial marriages.
The motion is adopted.
The House also passed a defense bill, $858 billion. It includes a provision rescinding the military's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Russia has freed WNBA star Brittany Griner in a prisoner exchange for arms dealer Victor Boot. Not included, Paul Whelan, jailed on espionage charges.
This was not a choice of which American to bring home.
President Biden.
Sadly, for totally illegitimate reasons, Russia is treating Paul's case differently than Brittany's.
Correspondent Jackie Quinn has the latest now on the mass killing at a gay nightclub in Colorado Springs last month.
The shooting suspect, Anderson Aldridge, had been arrested in June of 2021 for threatening family members with a loaded gun and a bomb. It led to questions about why weapons weren't seized under Colorado's red flag law and why the charges were dropped. District Attorney Michael Allen says weapons were taken from Aldridge and were not returned, despite efforts to get them back, and that the family didn't cooperate with efforts to prosecute Aldridge for that incident.
And Rita Foley reports there's been gunfire near a power facility in South Carolina.
Nobody was hurt and no power failure reported, says Duke Energy, after reports of gunfire yesterday near the Watery Hydro Station in Ridgeway, South Carolina. Duke Energy says it's working closely with the FBI on this.
Stocks closed higher on Wall Street after five straight losing sessions. This is AP News.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuckit. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuckit stores or at Untuckit.com. Untuckit. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
If you're 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions such as asthma or diabetes, you can get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. If you're 65 or older, it is also recommended you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. No matter the season, talk to your doctor about vaccination today and learn more at lung.org/protect yourself. A message from the American Lung Association in collaboration with Pfizer.
Furnished by the
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM The Shaw.
Our guest is Kristen Elfheim, who is the state Senate candidate for District 19 in the Fox Valley.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
There are really good people that have been in Madison on both sides. And if we're not letting the strongest problem solvers win, we're making a mistake.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
For
Civic Media. I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. It's been a good year for Wisconsin, the state dipping below 3% unemployment in the last 12 months, the current rate 3.3%, but a worker shortage still projected in the coming years. Amy Pekacek, secretary designee for the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, tells the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel there are roughly 2 job openings for every job seeker in the state, so Wisconsin trying to re-engage people who've been out of the workforce for a number of reasons, including incarceration. There are currently 10 job centers and correctional facilities helping inmates get employment once they're released. Richland Center community members frustrated with the proposed closing of the UW-Richland campus. Supporters say some of the reasons for declining enrollment are due to the UW system's lack of financial support, drastic reductions in faculty and staff, and no marketing or strategic plans. They'll forward a petition to Governor Evers, UW System President Jay Rothman, and area lawmakers. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
I'm 950radio.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Sorry about that. Am I even on right now? Ogama, I just had a really busy day, and I know you've had a really busy day.
Yeah.
I just did a show with Matt McNeil, and now I'm trying to remember what show I'm on, but I think I'm on Native Roots Radio, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Ogama, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And this portion of the show is also brought to you today a little bit by Water Legacy, which is a group working to protect water here in Minnesota. And we'll have a wonderful guest on here in our second segment, right, Robert?
Yeah, we might even, she's in the bullpen right now, and I know I've known of Paula for many years. I'm a St. Paul resident, and she was a city council member, and she's still doing great work out there, so that's awesome. And I'm excited, and then later on we're going to have Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute, and then you and I will talk again, and I'll make you even work more and longer because, you know, we're both frazzled here, all this work we do.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we'll get through it somehow. It's only an hour, right? So exactly. I guess in lieu of news today, I wanted to talk a little bit about the topic of at hand, which is the PolyMet proposed mine in northern Minnesota. PolyMet is a copper sulfide mine that is proposed up on the northern 12 miles or northern shore of Minnesota, 12 miles south of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. And this project, when you start to read into what it actually entails, everybody, it's amazing that this is and or was permitted at one point in the state of Minnesota. This mine would produce millions of tons of waste rock and produce acid mine drainage, which contains carcinogens and heavy metals like lead and mercury. This is happening right next to the St. Louis River, and which flows downstream into Lake Superior and would harm the residents of Duluth and the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. And I don't know if anybody has heard of this company before, but have you ever heard of Glencore, Robert?
No. Is it another one of those foreign companies that want to destroy our environment?
It is. It's a Swiss mining and commodities giant, and they are known for, all kinds of things, labor violations, environmental issues, bribery, corruption, unlawful actions. The United Steelworkers called Glencore one of the most irresponsible companies on the planet. And that is who would be setting up for a PolyMet mine. This is like 16 million gallons of polluted water that would be released into groundwater each year, which would then seep into the St. Louis Rivershed and flow downstream, which, again, contaminates water supply for the Fond du Lac Band, the city of Duluth, and possibly, ultimately, Lake Superior. They want to cut costs in this project and build a 250-foot tall dam to store 225 million tons of reactive mine waste. I don't even know if I need to repeat that. 250-foot tall dam to store 225 million tons of reactive mine waste. That's not a sentence that should really be uttered. I mean, it's almost laughable. I mean, how bad this is. According to Friends of the Boundary Waters, the same type of dam designed by the same dam engineer had collapsed in Brazil, and that dam killed over 200 people, and that type of dam construction is now banned in the country of Brazil. But they think it's a great idea here in Minnesota. The other issue with PolyMet is the same kind of issue that we have with projects like Line 3 and with other major environmental projects along that line, is that PolyMet has designed their financial issues around this in a way that their investors are always paid first, meaning Minnesota taxpayers are going to be on the hook to clean up when things go south, which they will, because they always do. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and the EPA, or excuse me, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and some higher-ups at the EPA have the EPA expressed concerns to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency about the wastewater permit, which would allow PolyMet to actually violate the Clean Water Act, which is federal. And there's been a ton of permitting issues with this. So for now, the state of Minnesota is temporarily safe from PolyMet because Minnesota issued the final state permit for PolyMet and the Minnesota Court of Appeals threw out that permit. But now PolyMet can't do anything until it's done with the legal issues. And I'm probably butchering what the legal issues are with this case, but that's part of the reason why we have Paula McCabe, who is the Water Legacy Advocacy Director and Counsel, meaning she's, I believe, the attorney that's helping to take both permits for the PolyMet mine to the Minnesota Supreme Court, which they have done a fabulous job of. And that second water permit case, I believe, just hit the Minnesota Supreme Court last week. So she's graciously offered her time to try to explain a little bit more of this issue and why it is such a problem. And I'm really excited to hear from her, Robert, because ever since I've heard about PolyMine and Twin Metals and also the Tamarack Mine and some other just really terrible mining ideas here in Minnesota, you know, it's just kind of been on the back of my mind. Once you know about these types of issues, these types of projects that are coming into your water in your state, it creates this level of fear, I think, that what is going to happen to our water? Are we going to be safe here? What is going to happen if there's a spill? And Line 3 is already in the ground, and we worry about that every day. And yep. Water Legacy is working to stop PolyMet. So thank you and welcome, Paula, for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you very much, Ogima. I hope you can hear me with the headset. Yeah. And I think that was a really excellent summary of the threat posed by PolyMet and why citizens throughout Minnesota, not including both Indigenous and non-Indigenous communities, should be really concerned about this project and about Glencore, the $200 billion, that's with a B, that's their annual revenue, and they actually control PolyMet, and they own most of PolyMet, and they're not responsible on any of the permits that have been issued. So if there were a tailings dam collapse exactly like you explained, or serious leakage, Glencore could walk away and PolyMet could go bankrupt. And that is one of the many reasons why people in Minnesota have to pay attention, and anyone who cares about water needs to be worried about this project.
Well, Apollo Maccabee, I am so happy that you're on air with us. And I did have a chance to talk to you a couple of years ago up in Duluth at one of Winona's concerts. And it's great to see you and working with Water Legacy. I'd love to, we got only about a minute in this segment, but we'll bring you on the second segment and just dig deeper into this. And we always try to figure out what can we do. So maybe we can talk about actions that we can take too to support Water Legacy and support your work, and also talk about, we don't need this. And, you know, Ogama bringing up a 270-foot wall, you know, to hold the waste in, that doesn't sound like a very good idea to me, and I'm not an engineer.
It's essentially what they pumped underground in concrete when Line 3 had the aquifer breaches in two parts of Minnesota, except above ground.
It's a real threat. And I think the other thing that you realize is it's not even a wall. It's a pile of sand. And what happens with piles of sand is when they're not watched carefully, they collapse. And so there's a huge threat from the PolyMet project, and especially from the tailings waste pile.
Let's take a quick break and then let's jump right into this, Paula. I really appreciate you stopping in. And I know from my years of following you as a city council member, you're a doer. So I'm excited to get deeper into this. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MNsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MNsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MNsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNsure.org. MNsure.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, you're muted, Ogama, just like old time's sake here.
Oh, man, I was. I haven't done that in a long time. Bujou, it's Ogama. I just wanted to let everybody know that the Native American Community Development Institute's All My Relations Arts Gallery is hosting the Rosie Sema's dance performance, She Who Lives on the Road to War. It's only until December 15th, and there are limited showings available. So if you want to make sure to see this beautiful program, you need to go over to allmyrelationsarts.com and get your tickets and get in to see that show before next Thursday, 1 week from today.
Wow. Thanks, Ogama. Hey, we're here with Paula Maccabee, and she is a Water Legacy worker here. And I think you're a lawyer for Water Legacy, correct? Yes. Let's talk a little bit about the oral argument at the Minnesota Supreme Court regarding PolyMet. Can you let our audience know a little bit about that?
Sure. We have actually, I've been working with Water Legacy as their lawyer and advocacy director since 2009. And when we started our work, we were told that PolyMet was a done deal and that they would be breaking ground and destroying water quality and precious wetlands in a matter of just a couple of years. And we and our allies, and those allies include the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa and the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior Chippewa and several other really important environmental groups. We've held them off now. It's 13 years. And that's a really important thing to realize, that when people get organized and when resources like lawyers and doctors and technicians and scientists are put into opposing bad things, we can do something about it. So where PolyMet is now, there was a permit to mine that was reversed by the Supreme Court just last year. And this year, part of the water pollution permit was reversed because they didn't follow the Clean Water Act in analyzing seepage. But part of the important part of the PolyMet water pollution was left standing. And so that's why Water Legacy and our allies, we all petitioned the Supreme Court and said, we want you to look at this case. And the Supreme Court took it, and they take only about 5% of the cases, so they agreed it was really important. And these are the issues that we argued up at the Supreme Court last week. One, and Ogama mentioned this, that there was something funky going on in the permitting. Usually, when there's a big project like this, the EPA professional staff will put in their comments in writing. And in this case, EPA let the Minnesota agencies know, we're really concerned about this. We're concerned about the effect on mercury, on sulfate, on wild rice, on the downstream Fond du Lac Band. And we think this permit is going to violate the Clean Water Act and won't be enforceable. And so the Pollution Control Agency knew that. And instead of just dealing with the comments, letting them be public, responding in writing like the law requires, they went to the political higher-ups above all of the program people and convinced the Trump administration to quash EPA's comments. So they were never submitted. They were withheld. And so one of the important issues at the Minnesota Supreme Court is, if an agency uses improper procedures, and we proved at the district court level that the procedures were improper, then that agency's decision should be considered unlawful and arbitrary and capricious, and they shouldn't be able to benefit by hiding important information from the public and hiding important information that would hold them accountable. So that was the first issue. We want the permit reversed because EPA should have a chance to put in their comments, and the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency should not be rewarded for basically circumventing the law. And then the second issue that Water Legacy argued is that almost every wastewater permit, and certainly a new permit for discharge to impaired waters, has end of pipe limits saying you can't add more than this much pollution. The PolyMet permit, which is new, it has mercury impaired waters all the way from the headwaters of the St. Louis River down to the estuary in Lake Superior. And somehow the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency didn't make them put any end of pipe limits on mercury, sulfite, lead, nickel, arsenic, nothing. And so that was one of the arguments that the EPA made. Water Legacy eventually got their comments by suing the EPA in federal court under freedom of information. So we knew that. And that was one of the arguments that we made. And then the Fond du Lac Band made a really compelling argument that Fond du Lac has their own water quality standards. And when the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency gave PolyMet its permit, they didn't even consider the band standards at all. It just wasn't part of their record. And that is another way of saying it. Not only was it illegal not to consider it, but it was also another way of showing that they were being arbitrary and just trying to give PolyMet what they wanted rather than following all the laws. And finally, Minnesota law has a really protective rule about groundwater. You're not supposed to put waste into groundwater. And if you have to put something on, like a landfill, you're supposed to have basically the best prevention you can possibly make. Both PolyMet's 526-acre waste rock pile and PolyMid's 1,350 acre tailings waste, they don't have any liners. So the waste would just be going right into the groundwater, the surface shallow groundwater and the deeper groundwater. And maybe PolyMet says, oh, we're going to, once we've released it, we're going to recapture it. But there's nothing in terms of historical examples, field testing, that shows how much they're going to recapture. And most Superfund sites that try to do this, they capture about 50-60%. PolyMet is promising 99% without one bit of evidence that they could actually do it. So exactly what Ogema was talking about is releasing pollution through groundwater, and that groundwater will go back, you know, not only will it affect groundwater, people who have wells in the area, but will go into the wetlands and the surface water and affect people all the way down to the city of Duluth, Lake Superior, and the Fond du Lac Band.
You know, Paula, this is blowing my mind, because as you and Ogema told this story today, it's like, what is the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency thinking? How you know, what is the EPA thinking? I mean, who are these people making these decisions? I mean, is all I could think of in my head as you two were speaking this truth?
I think that's a really good question, Robert. And I grew up in Minnesota, and I always thought we were kind of like Lake Wobegon, where all of our children were above average, and we were sort of better than everybody else. But I think what we've learned over the past 13 years at Water Legacy is that smugness is not deserved. There are many, many countries, like Ogema was talking about, countries like Brazil and Chile, that wouldn't even allow the kind of dam that PolyMet is proposing to build now. And then there's the issue, we call it regulatory capture, because it's not really that someone at the Pollution Control Agency is getting money to do the wrong thing. It's that the pressure of the politicians at the legislature and the governor is to get the permits done, not to protect the water, not to protect human health, not to protect the future for the climate or nature. And so there's a lot of pressure on the Pollution Control Agency to rubber stamp whatever the company wants. And even a culture of calling the companies that are going to pollute their customers, rather than talking about the plants and the animals and the people who are going to drink the water or eat the fish as the real customers of the Pollution Control Agency. So we started out thinking we were going to get PolyMet stopped and then we'd move on. We realized we really have to fight. I'm seeing a flash across the screen of corruption. We need to fight the corruption and regulatory capture that prevents our agencies from acting in the public interest rather than in the private interest of huge multinational corporations.
Yeah, and we've run into this since Standing Rock and again, Line 3. Go ahead, Ogema. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that was okay. I just wanted to remind people, too, that much of the people at the Commissioner's Office of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency are appointed officials. They're not officials that we get the chance as Minnesotans to vote in with our best interests in mind. These are people that are placed into their positions to do this work. And I don't know. I guess I have a question for you, Paula. I don't know how to phrase it per se, but is there any way to take the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency themselves to court for failing their due diligence to Minnesotans for their work?
Well, to a certain extent, by arguing about these irregular procedures, we are taking them to court, but our only remedy here is not like a penalty. It's just that we'd be able to throw out the permit. But I think there's a bigger question is, what can we do? I think that what has happened over the years is there's so much money in politics and most people are just struggling to get by, that we have a legislature that is not oriented to protecting nature, not oriented to protecting people, but a company just says money and jobs, and they just have been allowing the companies to get away with anything they want. So if I was going to say, what are some of the most important things that people can do, is to become politically active and pay attention to races for governor and raise the profile of clean water, nature, and a concern about environmental justice for indigenous communities and low-income communities. That is, I think, the biggest thing that everybody can do just a small piece of.
Wow, Paula, thanks for stopping in. We need to get you on again. We need to do a whole show with you. Excellent information. Ogama, great questions and information, too. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and that was Paula McAbee of Water Legacy.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Coronavirus update. I'm Ben Thomas with an AP News Minute. The Food and Drug Administration has cleared doses of the updated COVID-19 vaccines for children younger than age 5. Omicron-targeted boosters were already available to everyone 5 and older. Exactly who is now eligible depends on what vaccinations they've had and which kind. The World Health Organization says a side effect of the pandemic has been an interruption in efforts to control malaria.
Malaria killed over 600,000 people last year, mostly in Africa. Cases and deaths went up in 2020 and continued to increase in 2021, according to a WHO report. The organization found the pandemic made it harder to implement preventions like distributing bed nets, resulting in 13 million additional infections and 63,000 additional deaths. Officials are also concerned about a new invasive mosquito species, thought to be behind a spike of infections in the Horn of Africa. It thrives in cities and is resistant to many pesticides. I'm Jennifer King.
And I'm Ben Thomas.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuck It stores or at untuckit.com. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
If you're 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions such as asthma or diabetes, you can get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. If you're 65 or older, it is also recommended you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. No matter the season, talk to your doctor about vaccination today and learn more at lung.org/protect yourself. A message from the American Lung Association in collaboration with Pfizer.
Furnished by the
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. American Red Cross employees are preparing to go on strike during the Upper Midwest's largest blood drive on the 23rd if there's not a new contract agreement by a week from today. Union employees have been trying to reach a new deal for almost a year and a half. The Red Cross has canceled or rescheduled 21 meetings in that time and is telling negotiators there isn't money for pay raises. The idea of passenger train service in Madison is back on track. City leaders are getting public input on 5 proposed train stops in Wisconsin's capital. It's not a foregone conclusion. Washington still hasn't released the money, and the city and state would have to agree on specifics. In sports, the Bucks beat Sacramento last night. College volleyball's Sweet 16 play today. Wisconsin hosts Penn State, and Marquette takes on top-seeded Texas. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Street and Grand Avenue in St. Paul or CafeLatte.com.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and by MNSURE. If you're looking for an affordable health plan and you're a resident of Minnesota, head on over to mnsure.org.
Hey, Ogama, I'm going to relieve you of your duty right now because I hear a crying baby upstairs. And Robert and I will take this the rest of the way, even though Robert's not feeling good either.
Yes.
I know. But it's interesting. We have two former city council members on today, Paula McAbee and now Robert Lilligren. It's old home week here with the politicians.
Yeah, and then I got to work with Paula a little in some of the water work she did and the environmental sort of campaigns that she managed that came before the city council, after her city council career in St. Paul. So right. It's a small world.
It sure is, and I can hear you're cold. You have a cold.
I think it's a cold, you know, with I tested COVID, tested negative, but I'll tell you, it's been probably 3 years since I've had a cold. So, because we were so cautious during the pandemic. So I've been out in the public a lot and things. So I think it's just a cold.
But you are cautious in the public too, because I see you wearing a mask all the time.
Yeah, I've been letting up a little bit on it, you know, so this is a good lesson. And then, as I told you earlier, I'm planning a trip up to the North Shore. So for folks not from Minnesota, that's along the Lake Superior up in northern Minnesota, the North Shore. So I want to push through this as quickly as I can so I'm healthy when I'm up on the North Shore.
Well, you guys do that every year, right?
Yeah, we do it a couple times a year, maybe 3-4 times a year. But this December trip is the same. It's our anniversary.
Yeah.
So this will be our 8th anniversary. I think I've told you this before. We were married on December 13, 2014. So it was 12-13-14. So it's an easy one, an easy date to remember.
Well, I know when I was a couple of years ago, when I was maybe more than a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I was begging you to be on Native Roots Radio, and you said, I can't talk to you about it until I come back from the North Shore. I was at Marlene's church for a rummage sale or something.
Oh, right. Yeah, the holiday sale or the Christmas sale at All Nations Church.
Yeah,
it's kind of, you know, I protect that space, and it's been just such a spiritual place for my husband, me, his family. You know, I was born in Duluth, so right on the shore of Lake Superior, and then we've taken ashes of several close friends and relatives up there as well. So there's a kind of a sacred piece to this too.
Yeah, Ichigumi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Ichigumi, and it's great in November. You know, the gales of November, sometimes the lake is just wild when we're up there.
Well, speaking of wild, I think Georgia saved the nation.
Yes, Georgia saved our democracy. They have changed the dialogue in so many ways, right? We see now Trump's goofy candidates aren't going to win, and everybody sees that. So, yay. Yeah. So that changes something a little more immediate. But now Georgia will always be in play. For the foreseeable future, it will be a swing state. Nobody can take it for granted. It means you're going to have to work and work hard. But in just a few short years, to go from deep blue to a lovely purple shade is a pretty cool thing.
You mean deep red from blue?
Sorry, yes, deep red. See, that's my body brain. Deep
red, check it out. Purple. Just think of his re-election 6 years from now. What the state will be like, because, you know, I got to back up a second. I'm here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And we love chatting on Thursdays here about local and national Native politics, but also, all politics, which affect us here on Turtle Island. And again, you know, one of the game changers, too, I believe, Robert, and you can help me with this, is that now the vice president doesn't have to stay in Washington all the time to put over the vote. And in these committees, it's a huge deal.
That's a huge deal. Democrats will have true majorities in all committees in the Senate. That's a huge deal. It's big for the appointment of judges. We're going to see that just pick up the pace. And you're right, Vice President Harris can move around, raise her profile, that'll be a good thing. And yeah, Georgia really saved us. And, you know, all hail Stacey Abrams and the work that she's done to lay this groundwork and to help energize voters there. But it's a game changer.
I was surprised, and I have to give Herschel a little credit that he did have a speech, and he did concede, and he had a decent speech. And I'm thinking, if he would have been talking that way for the last year, he might have got elected.
Possibly. And you know, I've heard a lot about that. You know, I praise him. I'll praise him. You know, good conceding. Okay. Not everyone has. Good to have a good speech. That's a minimum, right? That's a very low bar. If that's all we need from our candidates, that they know how to concede well, we're not asking enough of them. So, yes.
Thank you first.
What's that?
I said, thank you for straightening me out there. That's a good one. Yeah.
Well, we've heard it so much, you know, so it's an easy point to pick up. But I think what a lot of people were surprised at is how close it was, right? Because I think, you know, right thinking people, correct thinking people think, how could you vote for Walker, you know, someone who clearly has demonstrated he's unfit for office? But you got to remember that Republicans are putting voter suppression measures in place, legislation in place to make it harder to vote. They battled everything Saturday voting in the runoff, which the Democrats challenged and won. It was reinstated. But this victory of 2 points or two, three points, you know, happened in an environment where there should not have been a Democratic victory. So that's massive. I think it's a huge win.
It is. And I'm curious to see, and maybe not so surprising, how the young people voted. I know just basic numbers when I was watching the election or the results come in, that I think it was something like 93% of the African Americans did not vote for him. And then we're wondering, who the heck is he voting for him? It's like, you know, putting up this kind of a candidate's a slap in the face of African Americans, you know.
Right. It's, you know, you think of Herschel Walker, what his career has been. You know, he's been working for the man, playing for the man. You know, this is kind of his MO. So, you know, so he can step right into this role as a candidate, you know, working for the white man. And that's who voted for him. And so college educated women, black voters and young voters elected Warnock. And I'm forever grateful to them for that. And they've shown that the shallow kind of issues that Republicans think are people are going to vote on. Gas prices, you know, inflation. People understand those things fluctuate. People voted to preserve democracy. People voted to preserve individual rights. And this was deep thinking that went into people's votes and determination. And it wasn't like maybe a few decades ago where people were really putting their lives at risk to go vote, especially black voters. But people had to wait in lines forever and ever. There was tons of personal inconvenience, and people did it, man. They maintained their place in line and got into the ballot boxes.
Well, and we just talked about in the beginning, as we like to chit chat and forget people are listening. And one of the cool things is when we first met and or talked about being on the show, and you and your husband were going on a trip. Let's talk a little bit about the marriage vote. First of all, why the heck do we need this? And thank God we have it, I guess, right?
Right. You know, I mean, someone like me who's in a same-sex marriage, this matters a lot. I feel much more protected. You know, Justice Thomas and other Supreme Court justices made it clear they were gunning for marriage equality after they shredded Roe versus Wade with the Dobbs decision and attacking these individual rights, these well-established individual rights. And this was coming next. So now it's the law of the land. I can't wait to see the president sign this legislation. You know, it had to bounce back to the House, which always makes me a little nervous. And it was interesting to see some Republican Congress people jumped from yes to no, and some jumped from no to yes. So it was almost a wash in the House. But it's hopefully this will mean it's a non-issue going forward, but it is the law of the land. So at least at least my marriage, thousands, millions of other marriages, interracial marriages.
Yes.
You know, when my parents were married, my dad's Native, my mom's white, their marriage was illegal in 27 states. So, yep. You know, this protects a lot of people.
Yeah, really good point. And, and this is a question, we don't have the House, but we have the Senate. Can we do anything about more Supreme Court justice? I mean, I don't know. I was on somebody else's show earlier today, and it's just like, I used to really respect the Supreme Court. It was the Supreme Court, but now as a 61-year-old person, I'm going, this is a joke.
Right. They've lost the confidence of a majority of the American people. They're not dispensing justice for a majority of American people. Right now, with an elections case, they're trying to ensconce minority rule in this country. And so you're right to be concerned, and you're right to wonder. And we'll see what happens, right? Things happen to people. There's always been conversations about expanding the court beyond nine. It's happened. The number of the Supreme Court justices has fluctuated throughout our history. It wouldn't be unprecedented to expand it. So that's a possibility. And or things happen. You know, people change their life courses. You know, houses fall out of the sky on you. Yeah. You know, different things. You never know.
You know, when you first said that, that's the first thing, not the house thing, but something like that happening. I'm going, is that what he's talking about? Hey, I know you're not feeling well, and we got another break. Is there any way you can stay on for just a little bit in the second segment?
Sure. Don't expect too much. I want to manage your expectations.
No, you know, and Ogumai had to run to her baby, so you don't want me on here babbling to myself, because that's never a good thing. Never. So thank you so much, Robert. I really appreciate that. I guess you couldn't say no. We were on live radio, so I
right. Sorry. Very strategic of you, Robert.
Uh-oh. Hey, we'll be right back with Robert Lilligren. Stay with us, please.
Hey, Ogumai, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MNsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MNsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MNsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNsure.org. MNsure.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How? See how I slowed down, Robert? I saw you taking a sip there, and I needed a duet howl.
I love it. I don't have much of a voice for howling right now, so I did my best.
No, you did great. And I appreciate you feeling under the weather here. And our ace reporter, Ogama, had to run to her baby. So I appreciate you hanging out a little bit longer.
Well, I support that.
Right on.
Where I work, we have an indigenous approach where we take care of ourselves first, our family second, and then the community. And so I support Ogama taking time away. And I will tell you, since we adopted that approach, which I was taught by a local elder, Linda Eagle Speaker, I'm sure you know her.
Yeah.
During COVID, she taught me that. Take care of yourself first, family second, organization third. I just pushed against her and pushed against her. I'm like, no, we're indigenous. We care for the whole. And she just kept reaffirming self, wow, family, then community. And since we've really embraced that at our organization, NACTI, amazing things have happened. Our capacity has just blossomed. And to watch the incredibly talented Native professionals, young Native professionals I work with, just grow in such a way. So I'm spreading the word. Take care of yourself, your family, then the community.
Yeah, I miss stopping by your office and seeing all those young warriors working with you and side by side. And, you know, Natives are progressive, but I feel like young Natives are really progressive.
agree. And we talked about this a lot in our early elder years. It's their world. You know, they are on such firmer ground than you and I were at their ages.
Oh, my God.
It's just going to be wonderful to see what happens in the coming years and decades.
You know, too, just to talk about that for just a second, and I feel like it's not a race. I feel like a lot of our young ones are in different places, and I know I was a slow learner, and I feel like, you know, later in my life, I've calmed down a lot, and been able to listen to my heart and listen to other people, and things change. But I think a lot of our young ones already have that.
It seems like it, doesn't it? It seems like it. And, you know, I was talking to a community member, a member of my board, who's just a driven professional Native guy. And I was saying to him how much in these years I really protect my time, and I take time away and take time to listen to my heart and go out into the world and listen to nature. And I didn't learn that at a young age. And I really picked up a lot of this from these millennials and young people I work around the self-care part. But I was trying to impress on him because he just runs and runs and runs. And I said, you know, I wish I would have learned that earlier. I can't imagine how much more, how I could have amplified my impact if I had started doing that earlier in my life.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And, you know, we talk about all the things that have happened in our lifetime, which is amazing. I mean, we're 62 and 61. We talk about, you know, voting, religious rights, and, you know, people like the American Indian Movement that really came up and made us proud in the early days and really were knocking down doors, literally. You know, we talk about a lot of things that we've lived through and we've had the privilege to experience. So I can't imagine what our young ones are going to live through. You know what I mean? My grandma, Grandma Nissen, was, you know, had dirt floors. You know what I mean? Sure. It's just like no cars or horses. You know, she was born in the 1890s. It's just... Yep. Yep. Think about that.
Well, and even in the 60s and later, going up to the reservation, White Earth, that's my nation, and my elder relatives, they lived without electricity, running water, you know, plumbing. There were outhouses, and, you know, I'd go up there, you'd have kerosene lamps at night, you know, and this is in the 1960s, and I thought, oh, this is so cool, this is so cool. You know, I didn't realize it was because they were dirt poor, right? That's why they lived that way. But they lived a good life. They lived an authentic life that way.
Yeah, and I like that word authentic. They lived an authentic life. And so there's, like, you were talking about your friend working so much, and so there's, like, you know, that balance where maybe less money, you work less, and have more time for family and important things.
Right, right. And, you know, the money piece is what it is. And, you know, when I was a young man, it was Malcolm Forbes, wasn't it, who said, do what you love and the money will follow. Right. That was kind of this banner of the 70s, 80s and things. And I heard that and it didn't sit right with me. So I had to edit it and punctuate it and just say, do what you love. You know, and if in that equation, money has to be part of it, to me, is that really what you love? Right. And as I was talking about in our organization in NACTI, where we prioritize ourselves, then our families, then the organization, the level of the kind of the punchline or the secret is the level of production and performance that I see some from my staff is amazing. It's beyond anything. And I think some people from the outside look at me as like the easiest boss in the world because I'm so permissive about people taking care of themselves and their families first. But the joke is, the punchline is, I'm getting more out of these people because of it.
Wow. Really? Wow. I don't know I'm like, wow, that's awesome. That is really awesome.
It's hard to believe. We with our board and staff went into a retreat. We went down to Prairie Island, down to their facilities, down to the Prairie Island Nation, Prairie Island community. And I was telling my board about this, you know, and it's just been almost like a magical, mystical thing. I'm like, I feel like I should publish on this. And they're like, you should.
Or at least go out and speak on it and become a circuit speaker on how things are going. That'd be awesome.
Maybe that's my next career.
Right on. Well, I always, you know, we only got a couple minutes left, so I really appreciate it, Robert, that you were able to hold on. And, you know, I was always told that, and this is a 70s, 80s thing, too. If you can master anything, you can do anything. And I always used to beat myself up because I liked a lot of, I know a lot about, a little about a lot of things. But that really helped me in my film and video career because I could talk to anybody. So those myths that rich people that maybe were born, you know, rich, that try and tell us how we should be, should probably be thrown out.
Agree. And, you know, I'm kind of like that as well. I'm interested in a lot of things. And, you know, as we get older and you look back and you have all this perspective, right? It's like, oh, wow, I've gone here, I've gone there. I wasn't one of those people who had a plan. I'm going from here to here to here to here. It was like I'd get up every morning and figure out what door I was going to walk through. But that inch deep and a mile wide perspective really helped when I was in politics. That's what people want from politicians. You have to know a lot or a little about a lot of things, you know, and so that kind of helped me in that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we did it. We got like less than a minute left in the show, Robert. I really, really appreciate you holding on for another segment, and I always really appreciate our conversation. We got like 30 seconds. Do you have anything else?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. 30 seconds isn't very much time. I guess we can go back. An election just happened. Another one's happening in Minneapolis next year, and in 2 years, a biggie. So I would just encourage people to stay involved, stay informed, get your parents to vote, get your kids to vote, get your neighbors to vote, and we can take this democracy back.
Wow. Great way to end the show. I really appreciate it. Thanks, Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. Pinigi to Robert Lilligren, Ogama, and Paula Maccabee today. What a show. We'll see you.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
the manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.